right, brother, brother.
What I want Brother Ray to do, the title of this message is The Bible Versus Theories. Okay? Many theories are very, very honest. They're trying to prove that the Bible is correct. The Bible takes care of itself. Okay? We don't have to worry about whether the Bible can stand under all types of critiques. It does. I've told you that the Bible versus medicine agrees, and creation, and in archaeology and anthropology, history, all of it is correct. Okay? We are doing a class occasionally on creation versus evolution. And I've substituted systematic theology, and we're teaching systematic theology on creation today. We're going to look at one element of that creation. Now, Brother Ray is going to read a book here to you. It's called The Jewish Publication Society, the Hebrew-English Tanakh. Okay? Now, he's going to read from their translation of Genesis 1 and 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to read it in Hebrew. It says, Barashith bara Elohim eth hashamayim we eth haaretz. We haaretz hatial tohu vavohu. We hoshuk el panei hamayim. We ruah Elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. That's what it says.
That's what it says.
Okay. Now, will you go back and will you translate what they say this says? And I know you're going to be shocked.
He said, when God began to create heaven and the earth being unformed and void with darkness over the surface of the deep, and a wind from God sweeping over the waters, God said, let there be light. And there was light.
All right, that's good enough.
Okay. So get it.
Brother
A.
Ray?
Yes, sir.
You know a little bit of Hebrew now, don't you?
That's why I got my cheat sheet.
Okay, now, what do you think about that translation? How they translated Genesis 1 and 1 and 2?
I got to read it again.
All right, now I want you to pay attention to what you're reading.
Oh, he's got here, and God in the began. Is that one of the words that's mistranslated?
Yeah, that's began.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's not the right...
What does it say?
That's supposed to be the word...
That's not what it says, is it?
No, Barashiv, meaning in one of the beginnings.
In one of the beginnings, okay. Mm-hmm. But it says what? When God began to create heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with heaven?
It's in the singular.
It's in the singular. Is it in the singular in Hebrew?
No, it's in plural.
Now, these are the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, the Hebrews had been carried off into the Babylonian captivity, hadn't they? What did they pick up over there? The Babylonian idea of creation, so they believed that God created a chaos. And out of chaos, he formed order. When God began to create heaven and earth, the earth being unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep, and a wind from God sweeping over the waters. That's way off, isn't it, brother?
On the word wind? Or?
All of it.
Oh, sure.
Is there anything correct in that theory?
No, not according to them.
That is an interpretation, not a translation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So it's a biased interpretation?
It's, talk about biased. They believed that God created chaos. And out of chaos, he formed order. Now, I have one... Even in my briefcase, I have this. I have a Jewish rabbi saying that he believed in evolution. Because as it starts in the book of Genesis, he said, well, see, God created the very first stages of life forms. And then the next stage of life form, the next stage of life. And this took billions of years and trillions of years. And though the word yom in Hebrew means day, 24 hours, that isn't what it means. So what we have is interpretations of the Bible. Now, for 48 years I've been preaching. And my main object of preaching is what?
Teach.
To teach from what?
The original language.
The original language of the Bible, because that is the inspired Bible in it. A lot of people don't want that because it makes them think too much. It's too hard on their thinker. People come to my class and they say, I leave with a headache. You made me think so much that I'm so confused now. What did you say? Now, what did you say? Did you say anything? I didn't understand anything you said. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a dumb Indian. I'm 88% 6 Indian, 1% Scotsman, and a little bit of French, and a tiny bit of Italian. I mean, almost nil. And I used to say, if I can learn something, and I'm real dumb, I can communicate it, because I had a hard time learning it. They used to tell me when I was in seminary, and Brother Ray went to seminary with me down there, they said, it's so easy for you. It's so easy for you. When I took the entrance exam down there, the registrar was a white supremacist. Because, you know, all Southern Baptists one time were KKK. You know that, don't you? You realize
that. I never knew that.
Yeah, they were all KKK. There was a Masonic Lodge and a Ku Klux Klan and every Missionary Baptist Church. Missionary Southern Baptist Church. Okay? So that still come up in my time because I was born in the first half of the last century. You know, I still saw all of this. I still was an object of it. I took my entrance exam and I scored so high I had to take no elementary classes. And the registrar said, what nationality are you? And I said, American Indian. He said, I ought to make it take it over again because no Indian is this smart. That's what he said. And then when I went into my classes in the Greek and Hebrew classes, after the first week, I was the assistant teacher, and I had never been in seminary at all. First year, I was a freshman. The second year, I was a junior, and from then on, I was a graduate. You know why? It wasn't because I was smart. I worked. I worked hard. I always worked hard. Marilyn, am I a hard worker?
Yes, you
are. I have a lazy bone in me?
Not a lazy bone.
All right, I worked hard. And I would teach Greek and Hebrew because my teachers, and here I was the first time I did a lot of Hebrew at home. I took every extension course I could take, and I had enough Hebrew and Greek behind me that I didn't have to take any elementary beginning grammars at all in any of it. I knew it all because I had studied it. And the first thing we were teaching was the Gospel of Mark, which I'll be teaching this afternoon. And I was in there, and a lot of the lexicons are wrong. Did you know that? They make mistakes. I found the mistakes in them. And I added to them. My lexicon that I have, that Davidson's lexicon, is added, things added all over in that thing. And we get into the class, and we start teaching. If I would be teaching, it's so easy for you. And then I asked my students, I said, how many books of the Bible have you literally written down in Greek or in Hebrew and put down the translations? And they said, well, none. I said, I did them all. This is why I know this, because I did it all. I did that. Well, because of that, I have been inoculated against many theories that are false. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know what the Hebrew and the Greek says. Period. Now, many people, in honest efforts, by the way, let me tell you what Genesis 1 and 2 says to begin with. It says Bereshit. That means what? In beginnings. In one of the beginnings, it doesn't say thee there at all, does it? There's no definite article there. In one of the beginnings, he had created third person masculine singular cal while consecutive imperfect. He had created Elohim, the heavens. And he laid out the heavens, the whole cosmos and all the galaxies. And among all the galaxies, he picked our galaxy where our solar system is. Not lunar system, solar system. Okay? Not Earth system. Remember, Galileo started this with the Catholic Church and they denounced him and were going to excommunicate him and kill him. Until he renounced that the Earth was not the center, the Earth was the center of the universe. It is not. The Bible never taught that, did it? Is the earth flat? No. But the Catholic Church thought that, and Muhammad picked that right up from him, and so he had seven flat earths. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to do better than God. Got to do better. He's got seven. He was better than Catholicism. He had seven flat earths. The earth was never flat. We see all of this series, but what does the Bible say? Now we're studying systematic theology on page 100 and what, Marilyn? 161. We're talking about the works of God and creation. Now just open it up there. If you're in your own book, you can write notes. And so you might want to write down some of these things. Creation. Bereshith. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens. That heaven, the word heaven, that Hashemayin is plural. That's the heavens. That means all of the galaxies. All of the galaxies. And then it says, and he took the earth, we et ha'aretz, and placed it in exactly the right place. And then it says here, we ha'aretz. We is and, ha is the, and the earth. It says, hathya. It says the earth, she had become. She had become. Something changed. The earth was not a chaos. Amen. God doesn't create chaos. He creates perfection. Even Hillel, Lucifer, was perfect when he created him, wasn't he? And Adam in the garden was perfect, wasn't he? All right, and the earth, she had become tohu wabohu, formless and void, useless, a chaos. And then it says here, and darkness was over the faces of the deep, wehoshuk el panei hamayim. And then it says, we ruah. Now, it says here, ruah is spirit. That's not wind. It does mean wind in some places, but we're not talking about a wind from God now. We're talking about Spirit God and Spirit God, Spirit Elohim. And here is a feminine singular participle. Now, the idea of the Shekinah glory of God, the Shekinah is feminine. And the Shekinah glory of God hovered over the Ark of the Covenant always. It was a physical sign that God was there. Now here we have the Shekinah glory of God. We have Spirit God hovering over the faces of the deep. And the word there is Merifacheth, and it means to suffer over, to mourn over what he had created. And then from this verse on, we have God reconstructing his earth. Now, what did God create the earth out of, Vincent? Out of elements. Where did the elements come from?
Well, he created them.
Where had the elements come from?
From God.
From God. So the earth and the heavens and the universe come from God, didn't they? Now, Thomas Aquinas is a saint in the Catholic Church. He lived from 1225 to 1274. He didn't live a long time. He didn't have a long life. But he did a lot of theologianing while he was there. He was Italian. He went to France. He was a Dominican priest. And he was a persecutor of the Albigenses, Brother Ray.
Really?
He was one of the head persecutors. He said, most people's sins can be, you know, atoned for, but not these heretics. We must kill them. He believed in slavery. Now, these are not things that people are going to say about him today. He was canonized as a saint in July the 18th, 1323. So we call him Saint Thomas Aquinas in the Catholic realm. To me, he's Thomas Aquinas. He was a well-meaning theologian in that day because he was trying to prove that God did not create a chaos. Okay? Because that is the Jewish idea of what God did. And we still see it today, don't we? This is a modern publication. Did they say that God created a chaos? Where did they get it? Where did it come from? Babylonia. All right. Now, many of your modern translations will say that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. It's not in the beginning there, is it?
No.
The heavens and the earth were created back in eternity past. Now, we have well-meaning theories today. The theory, what we call, of the young earth theory, okay? And they go by King James Bible. Okay? And they won't look at the Hebrew because they don't want to, because the Hebrew will totally destroy and dissolve their theories. They say that God, 6,000 years ago, created the heavens and the earth. That is not what the Bible says.
Amen.
That is not what the Bible says. There are many well-meaning people that try to take and prove the Word of God from the wrong elements. The Bible versus theories. That's what I always teach, the Bible versus theory. Now, Thomas Aquinas also believed in the church state, which the Bible doesn't like, and the book of Revelation does it.
Mm-mm.
All right, the church of Thyatira, of what's the one that means twice married, brother?
Pergamos.
Huh? Pergamos. The church at Pergamos, that's when the Catholic Church married the church to the state. It was wrong to begin with. That's where Muhammad got the idea of church and state. His religion didn't succeed, but his church state political system did. His Sharia law did. Now, Thomas Aquinas is quoted by many, many, many modern theologians. Big shots. Big theologians. They take him. Now, the Catholic Church made him the doctor of the church because his theories were so foundational. Now, he taught on the Trinity. He taught on God and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all of that. Right now, we're going to talk about his theory of ex nihilo. What's ex nihilo mean?
Out of nothing.
Out of nothing. Because we're going to meet that theory in this book. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that God created everything that we see out of nothing. But that's not what it says. That's not what the Bible says. Go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. In the first chapter, in verse 3, it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory," and he's talking about God the Son, "and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by his word." In other words, all the creation of God is upheld by Jesus. In Colossians, the first chapter tells you that. In John, the first chapter tells you the same thing. "By the power of his word and his power, when he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." Now, go on over to the third chapter and verse 4. And it says, "Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is what? God. The builder of all things is God." Mm-hmm. So we see that. Today I'm wearing a Rolex watch. Okay? Now, your modern evolutionists will say that watch evolved. It evolved. Now, that watch was made in Switzerland. A Swiss-made watch. Now, the earth is created by God, and it has these fingerprints all over it. All over this watch is Rolex, inside and outside. Even the band says Rolex on it, all over the place. And a Rolex, you can tell a real Rolex from a fake Rolex, because you can pick a real Rolex, and you can put it through your hand, and there are no sharp corners. It's all smooth. But everything inside of that watch, and Rolex will not work on a Rolex. If somebody worked on a Rolex and put different parts in it, what we call extra aftermarket parts. They will take all of those parts out and put Rolex parts back in if they fix your Rolex. They won't have anything in that but Rolex. Now, why in the world did I say that? Because God created this heavens and the earth, and he has his fingerprints all over it. Mm-hmm. And nothing we can ever do in this world can sustain this world. That God holds it and he sustains it, and the person that does that is God the Son, is it not? Amen. That he holds all things together. What makes gravity? We can fool around and mess with things. We got scientists up there in Alaska right now with a HAARP deal. They're changing the weather. Now, every war in the history of the world has changed the weather patterns. Did you know that?
Amen.
The Napoleonic Wars, the Civil War, First World War, Second World War, we had weather changes because of that. And we used to have rainmakers. And they used to shoot off cannons and do all kinds of stuff because they were loading up the atmosphere with particles. After Mount St. Helens blew its lid, and you were there at New Hope,
yep.
When the Mount St. Helens blew its lid, I mean to tell you, we had some terrible winters, didn't we?
Amen.
And the ionosphere, and how about the northern lights? You ever heard about them?
Yep.
They're up there fooling with the northern lights in Alaska. They've got some great big powerful transmitters up there with beams with millions of watts going into the ionosphere, charging up the ionosphere. They're seeding clouds. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They say that because we have polluted the earth so badly and messed up the cover that we have here, the UV rays, that they can go up there and turn that around, but they don't know how much dust and particles to put in the air. It may make it too bad. The American Indians, when they were creating the Great Plains, they weren't made. That's not natural. They were created. The Great Plains were created. There was all types of brush and trees out there. They burned it all off. And they burned so much of this country over here, building it and manicuring it, that Europe was in a mini ice age because of all the smoke. They said when the Anglo-Saxons came to America, that every place they saw an Indian, they saw him starting fire. Burning brush. The time Lewis and Clark got here, they'd killed so many Indians in this country by disease and quadrimaculatus, Anopheles quadrimaculatus, the vivax infections from malaria, and everything else they could pour on them, smallpox and everything else. This was the most populated place in the world, that it had become a wilderness. And Lewis and Clark went through what had become a wilderness. There were still Indians there, but they were not near as many as they were before. And we have the Lost Ten Tribes theory, don't we?
Yep.
Where Joseph Smith, you know, he borrowed a book called Paradise Lost, and he made his Book of Mormon. And there's when the Jews got on a boat over there, and it was a submarine, and went across the ocean and landed over here in America. And these people over here, these us Indians, are Jews. And we have, remember Herbert Armstrong, Gardertown Armstrong, they had their theories of the British-Israeli thing. Theories.
Yep.
People trying to make, they didn't know how the Indians got here, but if they've read the Bible, it said in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three races of man, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We have the Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and the Negroids. All right, in every mixture of them. We see that. That's what the origin of the races is. That's what the Bible said. And that God confused the languages over here, right here. And they were all building. You know, God told them to scatter and multiply, didn't he? Is that what he told them? Scatter and multiply, but they didn't do that. They built the city of Babylon, Nimrod and his empire. And so God scattered them. The earth, can you imagine building a big building? That Tower of Babel was big. Can you imagine trying to build a big building when the earth is shaking and moving apart? The tectonic plates are moving all the time. This was a shaky place. shaky place. You know that one of the only monuments before the flood over here is what?
The Sphinx.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Then shake them down, then flood them down. There's marks of the flood on that Sphinx, they say. All these things, we have biblical, historical facts, and we have biblical facts, but people go with their theories. Okay? They go with their theories. Thomas Aquinas is a great father in the Catholic Church. Augustine was a great father in the Catholic Church. And yet we have many, many fallacies. The British Israeli theory, and then we have the church and Israel becoming the same. That's what we call what? Replacement theology.
Replacement theology.
Mm-hmm. Theories. All right, theories. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now by faith and assurance and things are hoped for and conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gain approval, and by faith we understand that the worlds." That word worlds there, that means ages.
Amen.
That the ages, all of this were set down by God in eternity past before he ever created one thing, didn't he? We talked about the decrees of God last Sunday, didn't we? The decrees of God, how he decreed, when he decreed to do this thing, all of that. It says that all of these were fitted together like a net, like a carpet. Each thing was fitted together. By faith we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God, and so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That God did not create everything ex nihilo out of nothing, but it came from himself. It came from himself. All things that we see came from God. All of the earth and the worlds. And then through his son, he became related to it, didn't he? John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx agenito, and the word or the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being inseparable in the bosom of God, that one has led himself out. And he became related to that universe again. It came from him, and it shall go back to him. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved what? The cosmos. That he gave his only begotten son. Not man, but the cosmos. Now, mankind would be an element, an inseparable element of retaining and buying back the universe. Do you know that God sent his son to die for you that you might have eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not all. That you could share this universe with him forever.
Mm-hmm.
It will be yours with him. He will share it with you. You will never become gods, as Mormonism said. You'll never become gods like Garner Ted Armstrong or Herbert Armstrong said. And God did love you so much that he gave his son. As the modern day Gnostics, Jehovah's Witnesses said, well, God's way up there, we're down here. Jesus was not God. He was Archangel Michael. And that when he died on the cross, he stayed dead. The Bible says that God's Son died on the cross and stayed dead for 3 days, his body in the grave, but his spirit and soul went down to Hades. And he took all of those that had the promise of eternal life, they were here in Sheol, that he took them with him when he rose from the dead and took them up to the third heaven, and they're there today.
Amen.
And we have a promise that we will have that one of these days. God created things not ex nihilo, out of nothing. There's nothing wrong with him trying to say that. God didn't take something else and create it. How about man? Is man created ex nihilo?
Nope.
What's man created from? The Hebrew, say. He didn't create him out of mud.
The same elements.
He created him the same elements that mud came from. Where did that elements come from?
From God.
God. We're a creation that originated from God's hands, out of God. Not secondary, primary. The earth is not eternal. The universe is not eternal. Scientists for many years and evolutionists said the earth is eternal. Now they got an idea that they recorded the sound of the creation when it exploded into existence. That's what you call the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the Big Bang Theory either, is there? Because that's the way God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. It exploded from him into existence. They almost got it right.
Yep.
But God did it. And it came from him. Not ex nihilo. It came from God. Now, as we go from page 161 here, we're going to see some of this. See a little of it. We studied the decrees of God. Creation in the proper sense of origination, ex nihilo, is the very first work that God does ad extra, he said. Nothing proceeds from it except that the eternal activity in the divine essence which results in the Trinitarian persons, these later are not creations but emanations. Hence creation is called the beginning of God's way, Proverbs 8 and verse 22, and God is said to have created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Not in the beginning, is it?
No.
What's wrong with that? In one of the beginnings in eternity past, the heavens were created not in space and time as we know it. And man was not created on that sixth day of creation, as many people say. The Septuagint idea of creation. We can't even say that man was created 6,000 years ago. He was created not a million years ago, as the evolutionists say, or 10 million years ago. Now, the earth could be 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 50 million, 100 million years old. I don't know when God created it back in eternity past. It was in eternity. Eternity means olam. Sharon, what does olam mean in Hebrew?
You go back as far as you can imagine, and there it begins.
That's when eternity begins. It's aeon ton aeon in Greek. Ages upon ages upon ages. That's what we say a while ago. God created the ages, not the worlds. He created eternity. He created the earth in eternity past. Somewhere back there. And then he began to reconstruct the earth. And that's what we call the days of creation or recreation. Now this guy, this writer here, does get that straight. Okay? It said, we shall treat the doctrine briefly under the following heads: the definition of creation, the proof of the doctrine of creation, and the theories that are opposed to the doctrine of creation, and the time of creation, and the end of God in creation. The definition of creation. The term create is used in two senses in the scripture. In the sense of immediate creation, and in the sense of a mediate creation. By immediate creation, we mean that free act of triune God, whereby in the beginning. Now, we have problems with that, don't we? In one of the beginnings. He didn't study Hebrew enough. But see, people are relying on other people's theories, aren't they? So much relying on theories, the Bible versus theories. People rely on theories. He created it for his own glory without the use of pre-existing materials or secondary causes. Did God have a universe to start with?
No.
He came. It all came out of him. He brought into being immediately and instantaneously the whole visible and invisible universe. That means all 10 dimensions. We don't see 10 dimensions, do we? But do they exist? Angels exist in a dimension. We don't go there, do we? But they come here. Angels are real, good and bad. Spirits are real, good and bad. The fallen spirits are demon spirits, and the others are called ministering spirits. Immediate creation was thus the free act of God, in contrast to all the pantheistic notions. Involving the equality of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it was the first act of God ad extra, as we have already indicated above. It was effected for the glory of God, and the book of Revelation tells us that, doesn't it? God created this world for His glory. And for His glory, and to share His glory, especially with mankind in a special way. With angels, but with mankind. But everything that God created has a volition. You individually have a volition. You have a will. You sit there, do you have a will? Anybody here not have a will? That is the most dangerous thing that God ever gave you, because you can go the wrong way away from Him with it. But if you give God the glory and say, Lord, I love You, I accept Your Son as my Savior, and I believe that He died on the cross for me and for my sins, you can share that with God. You can share all what we've been talking about with God.
Amen.
It was not a reshaping of pre-existing materials or the work of secondary causes. It was an immediate act of God that had immediate results, and it was an all-embracing in its scope, including not only all material existence, but also all immaterial. Everything that is seen and unseen is created by God. All 10 dimensions. And you know what? Our sciences have discovered 10 dimensions. There may be 50. There may be 40 they didn't discover. But we know now that we only live in our three-dimensional world. But there are other dimensions, at least 7 of them out there. And they're as real as this terra firma we live upon. We know that all of the atomic structure that is in this building and in the ground, that is moving, but it's solid moving. This pulpit hasn't moved very many times since I've been coming here. But Jesus could reach His hand through it, couldn't He? Because His elements in His resurrected body lined up perfectly with the spaces in this, and He could just go through it.
Amen.
And interdimensional. Angels are interdimensional. By immediate creation, on the other hand, we mean that the acts of God, which are also denominated creation, but which do not originate things ex nihilo, they instead shape, adapt, combine, or transform existing materials. God may Himself directly shape, adapt, or combine, or transform the existing miracles and materials, and He may indirectly do this through the operation of secondary causes. Now, the Hebrew says, now, he's going to get into this, that God created man from dirt. He did not create man from dirt. He came created him from the same elements as He created the dust of the ground. But he would become dust because He knew he would sin. And that was prophetic. Hodge says, comparing immediate and mediate creation, the one was instantaneous and the other gradual. One precludes the idea and any pre-existing substance and of cooperation, and other admits and implies both. This is evident ground for this distinction in the Mosaic account of creation. It seems as if, then, the term immediate creation should be restricted to the statement in Genesis 1 and 1, and to other similar statements referring to the same elements. We shall consider the point further in connection with our study in the Mosaic account of creation. It talks about here the doctrine of the proof of creation. God's fingerprints are all over you. God's fingerprints are on every rock out there and every flower, every tree and every grass. He is a creator. Every bird, every animal, the whales to the minnows, the whales and the mosquito fish, little tiny things, and things that we can't even see. Last Wednesday night I preached here, and Marilyn wanted to go and get a pastrami sandwich out there in Pumpkin Center, because Dakota told her they were very good. So I took her there, and I don't usually do this, but I had low blood sugar that night, remember?
Right.
I had to eat and postpone for a few until I got my blood sugar back up. Well, I was hungry, so I did a stupid thing. I ate one of them pastrami sandwiches too, and it was poison to me. I was sick. I mean sick, sick, sick. Sick. Bad bacteria. Bacteria is life forms. A bacteria, there is bad bacteria and good bacteria. I've been taking a lot of probiotics since then. Probiotics are a good bacteria, but the bad bacteria is what attacked me. And I was working on a stove the other day trying to chisel a bolt off down in the stove about this far away, and I kept holding this chisel down there and I couldn't get to it, and I kept hitting my hand. Finally I made a chisel about that long, and it was a flat chisel. Now I have chisel holders and everything, but I didn't have a chisel holder for that, because it was a flat piece of antique tire iron that I had. I made a chisel out of it, and I hit it, and I was hitting it pretty hard, and I slipped and hit my hand. And then I got a confection in that thing, and I didn't even break the skin on it. Bad bacteria, a fallen life form. Viruses and colds and things are fallen life forms. They're real, aren't they? You can't see them, but you can sure see the results of them, can't you?
Yep.
Sin. Thomas Aquinas defined sin as anything that went against God's law. But the spiritual sins that the Albigenses were heretics, as far as he was, you know, they were separation of church and state and all this, you know, they believed in the Bible only and all these weird things. They believed in holy lives, and Albi France is where they came from, Maryland.
Well,
Albigenses.
Pretty close to the Paulicians?
They probably, some of the Paulicians came from them. We won't get into that real.
Oh, okay.
But he killed them because he said they were committing spiritual sins. You couldn't be atoned for that. Do you know why in the state of Utah? In the state of Utah, they shoot their prisoners, don't they? They shed their blood when they execute them. Because Joseph Smith said that that Jesus didn't atone for your sins, that when you committed a crime, your own blood had to be shed. Now, I believe in the death penalty because the Bible teaches it. That's the basis of all government. But their basis on shooting somebody for their sins so they can shed their blood, so their blood will be shed for the atonement. You don't atone for your own sins. Jesus Christ died for all your sins, past, present, and future when you're born again. It doesn't give you a license to run around sinning either, does it? Because then you are unhappy. God is unhappy and you're unhappy. Your body has the Holy Spirit of God in it, and then when you sin, it makes that spirit miserable.
Amen.
And you are not happy. I want to give you an invitation this morning. I hope this hasn't been over your head at all, in every way. I tried to teach one simple thing today: the Bible versus theories. Find out what the Bible says. God created the heavens, the earth, and he created out of nothing that we know or see, but it came all from him. In a way, ex nihilo is correct, but he didn't create it out of nothing. It all came from him, and God is something. God brought his son into this world in John 1:14, Kai ho logos sarx agenito, and the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became and dwelt among us. That God redeemed the universe that came from him back to himself, because now he is related to it directly through the redemption of his son. For God so loved the what?
Cosmos.
The cosmos, that he gave his only begotten son to redeem it and you, if you will.
Amen.
God will not take you to heaven if you don't want to go. You can go to other place, and it's for real too. Hell is for real. There is no hell in existence today with people in it. Did you know that? We have Hades and Sheol, but that's a place of suffering too. When you die, you go either to heaven or to Sheol or Hades. In the end, you're judged. You're brought up out of Sheol, and you're judged. Now, no man goes to hell because of sin. Did you know that?
Right.
Not one person ever goes to hell because of sin. You go to hell because you rejected God's Son.
Amen.
If you heard the gospel and rejected it, you are rejecting God's Son. Wherever you are in the world, if you've heard the gospel, and if you hear me preach, you've heard the gospel. I can guarantee you that much.
Amen.
The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins and was raised for your justification. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell because you rejected him. But when people go to hell, they suffer for what sins they committed on the earth. There's no way out. It's one way. There's no ticket out of hell. And once you get to heaven, you forget all of the worldly things. The peace of God is with you forever, and you've yet to share with God the beauty of his eternal creation and glory.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of difference in those two places, people.
Yep.
Which way do you want to go? What do you have there?
516.
516. What's the name of that fine song?
Are You Washed in the Blood?
Are you washed in the blood? If you're listening out there in Indonesia, the Philippines, and I know they are, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iran, Jordan, Israel, and you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can put him on right now. I don't need to be there with you. You don't need anybody with you. Just simply bow your head and say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that Jesus died for me and saved my soul. I'm applying that redemption to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is saved, shall be saved. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ with our Lord. And also in Romans it says, for if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. That is an absolute promise. Vincent.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you for your attention. I pray that God's word goes out there and it does its job, because I know it will.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you and to the world. I pray that you convict each lost sinner out there of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. that you do not let them rest until they accept your free gift. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. I ask you to forgive me, for I fail you. Amen.
Amen.